If I have to go youth group on you, I will. Good morning. All right, there we go. All right, now we're awake. All right, well, was telling Honey this morning that I kind of get to revisit my village missions days when I was serving. Got to lead music by myself. Now I'm up here preaching. And I wasn't sure if Travis was going to be here this morning for whatever reason, so I thought I was going to do announcements by myself. So it's kind of fun. I just want you guys to be praying for Pastor Paul. From what I understand, he's doing fine. Surgery went well. He's, I'm sure, itching to get back up here. So just continue to be praying for his recovery. One announcement that I forgot to put in there. My wife and I are the ones heading up the mealtime for family night. There is a sign-up sheet out there on the table out there in the foyer right before you take off. If you feel led to sign up to do a meal, the dates are already on there. Just fill that in. The church will reimburse you for any food that you need to buy. You can, for more details on that, just let me know. But what we really need help with is the setup and teardown. More so the teardown than anything, just because it, you know, I love sitting and talking with y'all. Trust me, I do. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you. I love sitting and talking with everyone, and I know y'all do too. But when we're shuffling around from room to room, it just makes a lot of work for a couple of people to take down all the tables, do all the vacuuming, wash all the dishes, and as the story goes. So if you can help out with that, my wife and I would really help or appreciate that. If you have any questions on that, just see me or see my wife. We can get you plugged in there. All right. So if you want to turn to John chapter 15, and I'll meet you there in just a minute. Yeah, while you're turning there, what are some hobbies that we have? It's okay, you can talk. I won't tell Paul, okay? What are some hobbies that all of us have, or that you know of someone that has this specific hobby? What are some hobbies? Shout them out to me. Say again? Traveling. Oh, yeah. I can't wait for those days. I love to travel. My wife and I love seeing countryside. What else? Say again? Fishing. The only thing that I caught when I went fishing was a cold, but other than that, great time to just be alone. What else? Golf. That's an excellent one. My boss loves golf, and from what I understand, I've never played it other than Top Golf. It's a huge patience builder, but that's a good one. What else?
Reading.
Yes. My daughter loves to read, so does my wife. I do too. It's a great time to just get lost in a story. Great time. Anything else?
Singing,
yes. And if you've ever heard Tylin sing, that's a really good hobby she has. So there's a lot of different hobbies that all of us have. There's a lot of different hobbies that we know other people have. Myself, one of the hobbies that I have is a hobby woodworker. I am not a professional by any stretch of the imagination, but I love just sitting down with a cup of coffee and looking at, or just having this idea. I write it out on my plans, kind of, you know, work out the details. Then I go into my shop and by God's grace, I make it happen. Sometimes. Like I said, not a professional. Had to start a few over, but I love to do it. And by God's grace, I've been able to make some beautiful things. My tools, however, are the farthest thing from top of the line. I've even had to make some modifications to get them to fit into the shop that I have. And one of those things is sometimes my tools have to share a power outlet. And if you have ever been in a wood shop, or have ever done anything like this, if you're getting ready to use such a, you know, these big power tools, you get it all lined up on the table saw, you're ready to get going, and as soon as you hit that table saw button, it ramps up. It's not just immediate. It has to build itself up, and you're anticipating that. And then nothing. And me thinking, well, not top of the line tools. Keep pushing it. Maybe I need to hit it harder. But sometimes, at that point, I'm like, that's right, that one's not plugged in. Now I can think to myself, I just keep pushing the power button. Maybe, just maybe, it'll come on. Or I can turn around, plug it in, and then away I go. Sometimes I get all jazzed up for doing something for God, and I forget about my power source. Now, if I were to leave my table saw plugged in all the time, if it were to remain plugged in, then I, with confidence, can walk over to it, get it all lined up, hit the start button, and it goes, and I have confidence that it'll start every time because it has remained plugged in. I wonder where our power source is for our daily Christian lives. I can't speak for you, but I know I can speak for me. Sometimes I get all ready to do something for God, and then for whatever reason, it just didn't work out the way I'd hoped. Something was off. So today, I want to take a look at something that God has very recently been bringing me through. And that is to remain in his power. To remain in that power source. We're going to be looking at four specific truths lined out in John chapter 15. We're going to be in the first 9 verses about how to remain connected to our power source. Remaining connected to our power source, we see in verses 1 and 2 who our power source is. Verses 3 and 4, we see to abide in our power source. 5 through 7 is when what happens when we're not connected. And 8 and 9, we see what happens when we are connected. So I'm just going to read this as a whole, and then we'll dive into it. Start in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it will bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and is dried up and is burned. If you abide in me, my words in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, so you prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Would you pray with me? Lord, just pray as we look into your word, as we dive into your word, I pray, Lord, that you just be speaking through me in a mighty way. I pray that you will remove all falsehoods and that we will only gather what is true from your word. Lord, I pray that you increase and I decrease today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go back to verse 1 here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So this is the last I am statement Jesus has used in his gospel, in John's gospel. When Jesus uses a phrase like this, there's a high level of significance here, because instead of sharing spiritual truth of what's to come, what has happened, what will come, what we should be doing, shouldn't be doing, Jesus here is turning the focus a little bit to describing himself. Jesus is describing himself as the supreme, the best, the true source of power for the believer. And when we read this, I think it's really easy for us to read past this core truth at the beginning of this verse. But branches are constantly drawing strength from the vine. We all are drawing from some source of power. And Jesus is here saying, I'm it. If you want to please the Father, it's through me. I'm it. I am your power source. I am the one. And if we're not drawing from him, we're eventually going to start drawing from something else. And that's not what Jesus wants. He wants us drawing from the true vine. If we look on here, every branch in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Another important statement here to understand the context of what he's talking about. This is a reminder to the reader that Jesus, even though he was talking to the multitudes, he was not always addressing the multitudes. This here is specifically talking to believers. Go back in verse 2, each branch in me. Each branch in me, certain audience, specific audience. If you are here today or if you're watching online and you have not made that choice to trust God, to trust Jesus as your Savior, I'm glad you're here. I am really glad you're here, and I hope you keep coming, and I hope that you make that decision. But as we go through this, this passage is specifically for who already is in Christ. And look at the latter half of this. That does not bear fruit, he takes away. I don't know much about taking care of a vineyard. I don't know much about taking care of anything that is considered a plant. I've tried for 4 years just to get grass to grow in my backyard, and I still haven't succeeded. I think this is why I'm pretty sure God has not called me to be a farmer. But that's a story for a different day. So with that being said, I did a little research, looked up some YouTube videos of vine dressers and how they take care of these vines. And two things they have in common. They require constant attention. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time and effort to take care of it. And one of the things that they do when they plant, when they have a new plant, is when it comes up and it starts spreading out, it starts producing a little bit of fruit, they'll actually take that fruit and throw it away. Because it's really not even mature yet. They want it to be focused on the root system. They want the root system to be established in the ground, pulling the nutrients that it needs to produce better fruit. So it doesn't let that little fruit take away from the root system. So they'll just take it off, throw it away. Another thing I learned is when a new plant is coming up, they use what's called a trellis. And they actually have to coach a vine how to go around that post to go up onto the trellis. And when they don't, they have to wrap some twine around it or something to eventually get it to start going around it. But another thing that I saw is there on the bottom rung of these trellises, I saw a lot of zip ties. I saw the vine, these branches tied up by zip ties. And one of them asked, "What's up with the zip ties? It's up here on the top of your trellis. There's no zip ties, but down here you do." And one of them said, "When a vine or a branch falls into the mud, falls into the dirt, it stops bearing fruit for one specific reason: it lacks sunlight." Sometimes we as believers stop bearing fruit because we've fallen into the mud. We've fallen into the dirt. We've lost sight of the sunlight. So what do? They take that branch, they tie it up on the trellis with a zip tie to keep it out of the dirt, so it'll start bearing fruit once again. It's the same concept here. This Greek phrase used here literally means, the Greek phrase "he takes away" literally means to be lifted up, to raise up. It's literally translated as is to raise up from the ground. When we as believers allow sin to enter our lives, we get a little muddy. Or the circumstances of life. I mean, I remember listening to Christoph saying not too long ago, sometimes life is just hard, circumstances surround us, and it's heavy to bear. But when we park there, we start losing sight of the sunlight. Sometimes if we're not making time for that personal relationship, for the growth of that relationship, we can fall into the mud. And that's when Jesus comes along and he brings us up. He lifts us up, ties us back to the trellis to be exposed to that light, so we start to bear fruit again. Look on again in verse 2 with me. "And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit." Ever use the phrase, "That's good enough"? Anyone? Okay, just me. All right. So usually it happens with the DIY projects, at-home projects of any kind, sometimes even for me at work. I'll look at some shelves that I might put up and be like, I can tell it's a little off, but I'm like, it's good enough. If I'm at work and my boss tells me to go straighten up this area, make sure they're all in a line, make it look nice, and I'll see it's a little off, be like, that's good enough. When my wife says that we don't spend enough time just sitting and talking, and I spend 30 minutes a week with her, I think, that's good enough. When we fall into that mindset of that's good enough, it leaves room for complacency. But praise be to God, he has never been nor ever will be satisfied with the phrase, that's good enough. God never looks at any one of us and says, he's good, I'm just going to go focus on something else. He's got it. God loves us enough and is patient and persistent enough to keep pruning us so we don't produce any of that little, mild, sometimes bitter fruit. It's that rich, that deep, just that real rich, deep fruit. I watched one of these guys, he pulled a thing of grapes off of the vine. He took one and he ate it. It was so dark and big, and you could almost taste it through the screen. That's the kind of fruit that God wants from us. God wants us in that mindset that to be bearing that fruit for his glory. And some may ask, well, what do you mean by fruit? What does that look like on a regular basis? It isn't just about talking to people and leading other people to Christ. Even though that is our main focus, Matthew, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, says, go for and make disciples, not converts, disciples. Come to know Jesus and raise them up. That's just like looking across a trellis of fruit, and you see this one hanging deal of grapes down here, huge, big, rich, and you're like, that's a good one. But that isn't the everyday norm. You see all the rest of them that look pretty much uniform. Look at Galatians 5 with me. Turn over to Galatians 5 real quick. Galatians 5, very familiar passage. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, godliness, faithfulness, self-control. It's daily fruit. It's the fruit that should already be happening. That when we look behind us, it's like, I didn't freak out when someone stopped in the middle of the traffic circle trying to wave people in. That's patience. Or when someone tries to make fun of the faith that we have, and I didn't lash out at them. That's gentleness. We look behind us and we see the normal, daily, everyday fruit behind us. These fruits are produced in our life, but we need to be drawing from Jesus. We need to be abiding in him always. When this happens, we start to produce fruit, and then God will come alongside, prune those little things that happen to us, the circumstances that have surrounded us. We realize God's walking through it with us and takes that burden. The sin that we might be struggling with in our lives right now, he wants to just give us a little spiritual snip, just to get rid of it. And this pruning happens by daily reading in our Bibles, spending time in prayer, singing a worship song on your way to work, listening to a sermon on the way to work. I mean, we all have busy lives. I'm not going to deny that. But there are times that we can, can we block out 15 minutes? I'm gonna go out here on a bunny trail here. I'm pretty sure that we can all block out 15 minutes out of a 24-hour period. 5 minutes of reading, 5 minutes of prayer, sing one praise song. 5 minutes of prayer, 5 minutes of reading, sing one praise song. Adds up to about 15 minutes a day. And just by that 15 minutes, God's going to come alongside us as the vine dresser. And we might feel the little snip. But that allows us to bear more fruit. We start to look more like Jesus. Okay, back in John 15. Now we've looked at who our power source is. Now let's look at the focal point of this passage, which is to remain in our power source. Look at verse 3 with me. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. This is what the theological term or the theological world would call positional standing in Christ. Positional standing in Christ. What that means is there is a standing and there's a state. Your standing never changes once you come to know Christ as your Savior. There is nothing, no one, not even you, not even God Himself, that can pull you out of His own hand. That is your standing. Our state changes when we allow sin into our lives, and that fellowship is broken. And then 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, agree with Him that was sinful. Okay? It's so imperative to understand the context that this is talking to specifically to believers. This passage, there's a lot of passages in Scripture that illustrate Christ's relationship with the church. John chapter 10 talks about the sheep and the shepherd. John 15, our passage today, the vine and the branches. Ephesians 5, the bride and the bridegroom. We see in Colossians 1 and 1 Corinthians 12, the body and the head. All of it to see the relationship between Christ and the universal church. Not the local body, not the local building, the universal church. When you come to know Jesus as your Savior, when you have made that decision that you have come to know Christ, that you agree with Him that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, that He died for the sins of the entire world plus nothing, that He rose from the dead, and authenticating that He was God and finished that payment of our sin, you have become part of the vine. You are a branch in the vine. So as we look through the rest of this, now we kind of have set the stage of who He's talking to. Now let's look on here. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. This word abide, sometimes I find myself asking too many questions, but I'm that type of person when you say, I'm a terms guy. When you say that, what do you mean? Drives people crazy, but all I ask, I'm just, what do you mean by that? And when we look at this Greek verb translated here, meno, which is not really in there to really impress anybody, it's just to let you know that I've looked at this, I've studied it, and I see what it actually says from the original Greek text. This word literally means to remain. It's in reference to a place that you're not to depart from. But what's also interesting is this Greek verb here is in the act. It's an active imperative verb. All that simply means is when it says active, that means it's happening in the present. It's going on right now. And that word imperative is kind of hits right here. It means it's not a suggestion. When we look at this, it's something that should be happening daily, hourly even. And it's something that should not be looked at as a suggestion. I love how Warren Wiersbe, how he writes on this verse. Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorite commentators, he writes, this word abides means to fellowship with Christ so that his life can work in and through us to produce fruit. To keep fellowship with Christ so that his life can work in and through us to produce fruit. Now, as much as I enjoy that, someone else, which most of us probably know, hits a little closer to home, but Pastor Travis Lankford said at one point in time about abiding as a steadfast focus on Christ daily. It's the difference between visiting and knowing Christ. It's the difference between knowing and visiting Christ. It's constant drawing from the power source of his word that he has revealed through his spirit to us. Now look at the explanation in the latter half of verse 4. Look at the latter half of verse 4 with me. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Without God, we can do nothing. Can you imagine a vine dresser going along and squeezing the tar out of the vine or a squeezing the tar out of the branch saying, oh, I got a grape. How well is that going to work out? I'm not even one that keeps track of a vineyard, but I'm pretty sure that isn't going to happen. That's the same mentality that we're talking about here. Unless it abides in the vine, it can do nothing. So neither can you unless you abide in me. We cannot do anything to impress God. And I fool myself, thinking to myself, if I do it this way, or if I do this, whatever it is, then God will be proud of me. If I do it this way, then he'll love me a little bit more. But praise be to God that when I came to know my God, my Savior, as my Savior, he loves me the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What a thought. What a truth. What an encouragement. Believers in Christ, I want us to take heart today. There ain't no way I'm finishing this passage today. So out of respect for God's word, I'm just going to pause it right there, and if I have the opportunity, we'll finish it another time. But I want us to take heart today. I don't want us to be discouraged. I know I know this is true of myself. I can reflect on myself and be like, okay, what do I got to do? Go through the checklist. Okay, I did this. So everything should work out today, right? The unfortunate truth is we live in a fallen world and it does not always happen that way. Can I get an amen? Okay, yeah. But if we are remaining in that power source, not just plugging in when we need it and then we unplug it, not just visiting Christ, but knowing him, when we are remaining in that power source, then that's when God is glorified. We cannot live up to these standards on our own strength. We were never meant to. if Christ, or if we could be perfected by the flesh, then Christ died needlessly, as Paul says in Galatians 3. From Eden to now, it has always been about drawing our strength from the true vine. We are God's power tools. We're nothing fancy. Not exactly top of the line. And yes, sometimes God has to make a few modifications. But with a little pruning, with a little bit of time in the Word, with a little bit of, okay, God, I'm yours, then that's when we start seeing the real fruit, that deep, rich fruit that you just want to pluck off there and have yourself. When people look at it, it'd be like, I want fruit like that. Lord, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for this day, this time together as your church. And Lord, I'm just asking you as we go into the world that you have created as our mission field. I pray, Lord, as we go out onto our mission field, that we not forget our power source. I pray that as we are around our coworkers, around our family, friends, that they will see you and they will see that we have a heart for you. And we just ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with such a fitting song. Just, God has never wanted our works that we try to dream up on our own. Sacrifices he's never wanted. He simply just wanted our heart.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Sing that again. Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. I am found. I am yours. I am loved. I'm made pure. I have life. Can breathe. I am healed.
like a prayer. I pray that as we go through this last one, sing this out as a prayer to God. Let this be the prayer of our heart right here.
I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free, 'cause you are strong.
Continue to draw from your truth. Your word be true in our hearts. In your name, amen. You are dismissed.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me.